Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Today in Southern Cross, I am talking to AUT Pacific Media Centre Director, Professor David Robbie, and reporter Rahul Patrai about the centre's news stories and issues being covered. Topics include the detention of a Bangladeshi photojournalist in an ongoing protest in Bangladesh, controversial movie in the name of, what is the name there, guys?
In the name of Confucius.
Confucius was screened at AUT, ABC cutbacks on shortwave Radio Australia frequency, and Vanuatu seeks support for West Papua. So, Rahul, tell us more about the Bangladeshi journalist who was detained by the Bangladeshi authorities.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Dr. Shahidul Alam is a Bangladesh photojournalist who was arrested, forcefully abducted from his house by 20 men in plain clothes. Now, the arrest took soon after he interviewed Al Jazeera on 5th of August, about an hour or so. The people came into his house and arrested him. Now he was officially charged by the authorities for making provocative comments on Al Jazeera, but I don't think any of his comments were that provocative, because he himself wasn't too sure, wasn't aware that he was going to be arrested for what he spoke. Now, all of this sort of started when, on 29th of July, two students were killed by two buses, and students went on protest about public safety in terms of traffic rules and all sort of things. And basically, yes, he was under Bangladesh, says Section 57 of Bangladesh's Information Communications Technology Act, which is basically a draconian act as per Human Rights Watch. It allows to prosecute anybody that sort of tends to deprave and corrupt its audience. But I don't think Dr. Alam did anything to corrupt his audience.
Could you possibly just go over what some of the comments were that he made? Were there any brief ones that you could say?
Well, I do not have his quotes with me.
Basically, he was criticising the government, the Bangladeshi government, for being responsible for the violence and so on, because it wasn't responding to the students' complaints about the traffic safety and so on, and just simply not responding. So it was pretty mild stuff, really.
Wow. Anything else to add, Rahul?
No, basically that's it. And I think he was severely beaten by the authorities, because he could barely walk to the courts, and I think he needed a few support as well, so, which is not very good for a journalist, that is. That's a suppression of speech, and that's a straight direct attack to the democratic process of the country.
Perfect. So, secondly, I read that AUT screened a highly controversial movie a couple of weeks ago. Could you tell us more about the movie and its importance, Rahul?
Yes, absolutely. The movie named In the Name of Confucius was directed by Doris Liu, who is a Chinese-born Canadian journalist and a filmmaker. She has won many awards for that film itself. Now, basically, what has happened is, in the movie, she talks about how China has been using Confucius Institute to infiltrate foreign countries. There are hundreds of Confucius Institute across the world, including in New Zealand. There are about three universities that actually has the Confucius Institute. One is Auckland University, the other one is Canterbury University and Victoria University. Now, Auckland University pulled out from airing that movie for some reason, which I don't know. And AUT did screen that movie, which the movie talks about how Chinese government has been infiltrating other countries. It talks about Chinese crackdown on Falun Dong, which is a spiritual organization as well. So that's the major problem here. And Doris herself has been rejected visa from China quite a while ago, and she faced a lot of problems while filming the movie. Either she was not allowed an interview, or people, what they did was, during an interview process, this lady took out her smartphone and started filming her interviewing the people. And she threatened Doris that she was going to go to Hanban. Hanban is controlled by Chinese Ministry of Education. Hanban is an abbreviation for the Office of Chinese Language Council International, and the CI headquarters across the world.
Wow. So did she film the film in China?
No. The film was filmed I think mostly in Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
And because at that time the biggest Confucius Institute headquarters was in Canada. I'm not too sure if it's still around or that has been shut down, but it was still there. And that's when everything sort of came together. And she has been trapped. Well, she's at the end of her trip now, but she traveled to about 12 countries trying to screen the film for free in universities and public places.
And so you said the University of Auckland didn't screen it, is that what you were saying?
Yes, it did not screen it, no. And I think I have an official statement here, but it basically said that, just give me a minute, sorry.
No, all good. Because is it so controversial that universities...
Well, it is a very controversial movie. Absolutely, it is. It is basically accusing Chinese government for infiltrating foreign countries based on that institute. Now, what that means is they are using the institute to teach Chinese language, but they are not teaching the traditional Chinese language. Rather, they are teaching the simplified version of it, and that is a suppression of education, as far as I'm concerned, because. Up until the 80s, every literature that was published in Chinese was on traditional Chinese, inside the country and outside the country, including New Zealand. Our literature here was on traditional Chinese, okay? Now, when they are suppressing the traditional Chinese language, what they're doing is they're not letting the future generation to learn what it was like, what's written on the traditional language. And that means the Communist Party's manifesto, their literature, their documents, everything, newspaper until the 1980s, was written in traditional language. Now, for someone who was born in that generation, they would know what's going on, but someone for the newer generations, they would not know. They had to go out of their way to learn the traditional language, to understand the philosophy, the policy, the literature of Chinese government up until that point. So that is sort of just sort of blocking people from understanding or getting direct knowledge by having them to go around the block, you know, to understand what's going on. So that's a major problem.
Thank you very much, Rahul.
One other point, too, is that the cultural institutes around the world, like, for example, in France, the Alliance Française, the Goethe Institute from Germany, all of these cultural institutes are independent of government. But in the case of the Confucius Institute, it is government, essentially government controlled and government supported and sponsored.
Wow. Right. So thank you. Anything else to add on that point there, Rahul?
Well, most of these stories that we talk about today is up on asiapacificreport.nz if you guys want to log into it and see all the reports about the stories that we've spoken today.
Yeah. Perfect, thank you. Now, David, ABC have cut back its shortwave radio frequency. What does that mean for us in the media?
Well, it's a huge problem for the region, because the cutback was actually getting on for 2 years ago now, but there have been massive complaints and protests all around the Pacific. And in the case of New Zealand, you know, RNZ Pacific has actually had to pick up the slack. Radio Australia was well known for its many multilingual broadcasts. Mm. For example, it broadcasts in many Pacific languages, including Tokpisin in Papua New Guinea, Bahasa Indonesia, and so on. And so all these broadcasts have mostly been cut back. So now there's a public review. In response to all the protests, the Australian government has called for a review of its services to the Asia Pacific. And there have been a number of submissions, including ourselves, the Pacific Media Centre. We put in a public submission basically saying, well, we really endorse what RNZ Pacific's doing. They're doing a fantastic job. But really, the Pacific does need, the restoration of Radio Australia services. And there's been a lot of individuals that have been saying about the communities. For example, this lady, she had 40 years of experience living and working as an NGO person in Papua New Guinea. And she was saying, you know, that the people in the rural areas in Papua New Guinea, 84% of the people live in remote mountainous areas, remote valleys and so on. And many of them depended on Radio Australia for their lifeline, if you like, for information to the outside world.
Oh, wow. So Vanuatu is seeking support for West Papua. What is happening in that region, and could you tell us more about it?
Well, Vanuatu has been a strong supporter of West Papua independence rights since it got its own independence back in 1980. And the founding Prime Minister, Father Walter Lini, he's passed away now, of course, but he was the champion of West Papua independence in those days. And now, of course, we have the Melanesian Spearhead Group, which is for all the Melanesian countries, including Vanuatu. But Indonesia has been admitted to this body on the basis that it has Melanesian citizens in five provinces. Not well known, but they've actually made a lot of play out of this, so they got included into the spearhead group. And they're on a massive diplomatic offensive around the region now, trying to persuade Pacific governments. West Papua is a matter for us, that is the Indonesians, to decide. Mm. Nobody else should be really interfering. Well, of course, Vanuatu won't take that. And they've just appointed a new special envoy on behalf of the Vanuatu government to work with the people of Papua and to try and mount a counter-offensive, if you like. And the person they've recruited for this is Laura Lini. She was the daughter of Father Walter Lini. So that it continues that whole history.
Link,
really,
yeah.
Really quite exciting stuff.
Oh, thank you very much. Do we have anything else to add, either one of you? No? All good? Yeah, sweet. Perfect. So thank you so much, Rahul and David. It's been lovely having you with us today.
That was the Southern Cross.